So welcome to our 18th episode for the TMP, Transportation Management Podcast. Topic of today is, in general, documentation. And I think we all hope that we can answer the famous request for all the newbies, please send me all available documentation. So my name, Thomas Quintus, still Scrum Master of Team Freight Order Management.
Yeah, I'm Bernd Dietrich. I'm here for asking questions, as always.
I'm Regina Reinick. I'm solution architect and consultant for transportation management and end user of all your documentation.
Yeah.
My name is Christoph Eichin. I have a lot of touch points. I'm working in development and have a lot of touch points with documentation for the solution manager content, for example, and standard documentation that we deliver.
Hi, my name is Christian Knirsch. I'm coordinator for solution manager content documentation in TM. I'm technical writer for Team 3, Planning and Network, and Team 11, I believe, Optimizer.
Ah, shameless plug. Optimizer was episode 16. Huh? So okay. If you want to know what is documented, then listen in there.
And last but not least, my name is Marlene Schumacher. I'm also a technical writer. I'm responsible for the freight order management area.
Okay, so then we can start now, right? So maybe in a, as usual, maybe start with a 10,000 feet perspective. So what kind of documentation do we have? Is there more than one book? What do we have? Books? Yeah, it's also something we can touch later. Yeah. So very high level, maybe first thing, what do we have?
Okay, so there's, in general, there's quite a few different types of documentation with different target groups and a different level of abstraction. So maybe to get started, the probably most famous and most popular type of documentation is sublibrary documentation or application help, as it is often referred to. That's everything you find on the help portal.
So help.sub.com, right?
/TM.
Or
transportation management 9.0, if you like, or 9.1 in the future, I guess.
Yeah. So. Okay. In one word. Okay. Okay, good. That's the most famous one, right?
Most detailed, maybe, next. Solution manager content documentation, I'd say. At least from a business perspective, because you get field-by-field descriptions, very detailed of what you need to do to configure and set up a system to run a certain scenario.
Okay.
That's very detailed. PDFs up to... 300, I think.
Quite a lot. But it's not only scenario description, that is only one part. We also have integration guides. That is a description on how you would be able to, for example, make an ERP and a TM system talk to each other. Also a description on how EM or BW can be used and connected to a TM. Besides that, we also do have so-called process descriptions. TM is divided up into several processes like freight order management, forwarding order management. And for all these processes, we deliver some general documentation along with information what kind of IMG activities have to be used in order to set up such a process. And on the other side, which transactions or web infra applications have to be used in order to complete the business logic or to use this process.
Okay. I mean, we will come back to that later anyway. So that sounds very interesting. But from a high-level perspective, maybe, okay, that's the second one. What's next? I think the system documentation, right?
I think we should continue with the administration guides.
Okay.
The master Whatever. Guide, great master guide. Application operations guide, I think, and the security guide.
Yeah.
Could you?
These are most of the time used, probably at the very start of a project. Master guide, installation guide, you will need upfront in order to know what exactly you have to do. We also always provide an installation note, by the way, which step by step, which contains a step by step. Information what you need to do to set up TM. along with the master guide, it gives you an idea of what you need to do in order to set up the complete system. The application operations guide then gives an idea of what needs to be done during the lifecycle, during the system is used. Like the most famous information is what kind of jobs have to be started.
Must run.
In order to make the system work properly. And what you might also take into consideration is the security guide, of course, gives you more information concerning security aspects, user management, permissions, information on security about connected systems like Gateway, the new collaboration portal, and all that stuff.
And it also describes the different user roles we're delivering in standard, right?
These are mentioned in online help, but also in, at least roughly, in the security guide. The security guide is more general. It talks about security concepts. And therefore, this role concept is, of course, mentioned. But if you want to know in more detail the use of a role from a business perspective, then you have to look into sub-help.
I think we dive deeper into that one anyway. Maybe not so much into that specific guide, but into that role. It's okay. We are still on 10,000 feet, so we don't have to dive deep. What else? Is there more? Sorry, quite a lot.
Well, when it comes to terminology as such, subterm, that's glossary definitions, or it is often linked from different chapters in sub-help. So when you...
Just then do it to explain what is a freight unit, actually, what is a transportation cockpit.
Just very short definitions
of
these terms and translations, if you need.
Yes, and synonyms that are allowed or not allowed.
Or not allowed,
Very important.
Okay.
Maybe we can then...
I think you can also integrate that one into Babylon, right? Is that only within SAP or is it also externally available?
No. At least internally, it's available.
That you can use that terms in Babylon, which is a normally a translation tool, so then you can translate TM real world and back? No, just one direction. Okay, so at least we have internally. Maybe there's also something externally available. Okay, that's a subterms, okay?
So now let's come to the system documentation. That is everything that is available within the system. Of course, we have long texts for fields, data elements, messages. We also have the IMG documentation, customizing. And third thing, we have release notes. They're also found in the system, but in addition, we have a PDF available on the help portal page.
And I think, okay, then we also... If release notes is part of that, maybe consulting notes as well, I don't know. Maybe something, another source of information anyhow. So we can maybe... maybe not within the system, but I think also release notes is also not part of the system as such. Yeah. Okay.
Release notes are part of the system.
They can
be from the IMG.
You do find them.
Ah, okay. In the system.
It's just a special service to our customers and partners that we create a PDF and put it on the help portal.
I feel better now. Good. Okay, that is a system documentation, right? So everything within the system. Okay. Then more things. RDS documentation. Yeah, maybe it's also so RDS, it's a rapid deployment solution, kind of a that's a topic in itself, but a way of make the implementation a bit easier. And as part of that, but also separately available, there is that solution. Maybe, Christoph, you can drop some words on that as well.
Like you said, RDS is an end-to-end approach to set up a system or even a complete landscape, kind of automated, not everything, but kind of automated. And... along with that, a very detailed description of what needs to be done in the system is delivered, RDS, along with the RDS. So as a customer, you don't only get the system, but also have the information what exactly has been done. what is incorporated, what kind of activities or what kind of customizing has been entered into your system.
Okay, and that of course also can, if you don't have that RDS, still give you an impression on what would come with that RDS and maybe also give you some hints for your normal setup.
All kinds of descriptions, of course. It's an overview of what is included in the RDS. We do have several RDSs, not only one, for several business processes. And first of all, of course, you will get an explanation of what is included from a business point of view. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you'll get technical documentation of what needs to be done in customizing if you don't only want to rely on the automatic part.
Okay. I think that's it for all our kind of official kind of documentation. Maybe later we also will come to some more informal ways of getting data. So things like the SDN, or SCN?
SCN.
Sub-customer.
SAP Community Network.
SAP Community Network. Okay, thanks. And this LinkedIn community that we have, this podcast, of course, and consulting notes, books, etc. Maybe we can come back to that later. Okay, so then let's dive a bit deeper. Huh? So back or down from 10,000 feet to ground or below ground. Huh? We dig now into the details. Yeah, maybe let's start again with the sub-library documentation, aka sub-help portal. So, yeah, what would I find there? Who's the customer for that? So who would go into that library documentation? How can I access it? Yeah, that kind of maybe. Can we add some words on that? Is that for end users? Is it for consultants? Is it for the developers? Who is the target audience for that library documentation? Or is there multiple targets maybe? Maybe it's a mixed answer.
I would say it's the first source of information for everybody.
For everybody.
For
okay.
Really everybody, because it's accessible for everybody. You don't need a service marketplace user or an internal SAP user. Whenever you need something, you have never heard of a term, a TM term, you go to Help Subcom and try to find it there.
Yeah. Okay, so that is definitely so as your consultant. So consultants obviously seems to be a target audience for that. Is it also for end users or is that part of the documentation really more for the or power users or okay, you already said everybody.
I would rather say that customers are afterwards linking to Help Subcom. Usually customers are creating their own documentation and their solution manager systems, and then they are providing hyperlinks to our Help Subcom documentation whenever possible. Because it's really a very detailed source of information. The only issue is it's sometimes really difficult to find the correct information what you're looking for. So my recommendation is always start with Google. Mm-hmm. Google knows everything. And just use as a limitation the site Help Subcom, and then you will directly enter the page you need really look for.
You know, the only negative is that you don't get the structure then. But I couldn't agree more. It's better to search via Google than via our sub-help search.
Yeah, also.
I believe, if you're on the page, then right next to the headline, on the right-hand side, there's a very small, tiny icon. If you click that, then you'll get the structure on the left-hand side in the navigation tree. But only then.
Okay. And what is the structure of that? Just high level? Is that, I don't know, technically structured or by business process or?
It's more or less structured according to the component hierarchy.
What's the component hierarchy?
It's more or less in keeping. So on top level, you have rate order management, forwarding order management. Planning.
It also corresponds to the hierarchy you find in CSS if you open a ticket. So how TM is structured.
Yeah. Okay, so
different parts, components.
It's more the components, but it's not like ocean, air, and then the subcomponents, but it's really following the different area, functional areas, yeah, so to say.
Yeah. Okay. They're also modeled in the IM sheet, so it's all in sync.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. More or less.
And what kind of description would I find there? Is that a step-by-step guide, or is it explanation of concepts, or just, you know, to get a high-level picture, what would I find there and what not?
Different, but basically I'd say it's mainly about functions, so what kind of functions are available in the different areas. Sometimes you get examples, minor examples, two or three lines only. Sometimes it's an entire chapter that describes one process in detail. You also get procedures, not too many. In the good solution manager content documentation for procedures. But sometimes it does make sense to explain something in a procedure step by step, but it's mainly an abstract overview of functions, what's generally possible.
Okay. So for a certain area, just pick one example. I want to know what can I do with a thread order. And then I would go into that thread order management clicking that tiny little button. I would find that thread order management section and then drill down into that thread order chapter in it and would get a link there. And maybe then also, since, of course, the thread order is deeply connected to planning also, would also find some cross-references then to the planning documentation again. So I think there's a lot of links also involved, right? Everything is going back and forth between the different...
Because it's all interconnected.
We also have links to more technical chapters coming, for example, from NetWeaver, the NetWeaver layer or Business Suite Foundation layer, if we reuse stuff from there. We also provide the link, like, for example, BRF Plus.
Shameless plug. Episode 10 was about BF Plus, yeah.
Or Visual Business.
Yes, Visual Business.
Oh, no plug yet. No. For the map, right? So that would be then, since we reuse something. So generally speaking, if you look for help on TM, it's not only TM, but also, of course, the included other components. Okay.
And the most helpful areas are really the examples. Unfortunately, it's not allowed to provide screenshots or something like this, right?
Yeah.
But whenever it comes, for example, to pickup and delivery windows, at least there we have a very beautiful example explaining how to set up these kind of conditions in the system. So very, very helpful.
Ah, and shameless also, plug two times. Four times, another episode.
And another area is charge management. Especially when you set up master data and charge management, sometimes it's really difficult to understand what's the meaning of this field, why do I need to flag it or not? And then you also find really helpful examples on the help subcom.
The screenshots maybe lead me to another topic. I think screenshots not allowed because you cannot translate them. Mm-hmm. So maybe should we add some words on languages? So what kind of languages do we support? Is that only available in English? Maybe it's a high level, maybe not. Yeah, touch the topic.
The SAP library documentation is available in three languages, in German, English, and in Russian.
Why Russian?
I guess there has been a use case and has been decided to have it translated into Russian. Russian customers.
Big customers.
Okay.
With bad German. And not enough.
The system, of course, is translated into many, many more languages. I don't have the exact number, but...
Okay, so if you talk about help, what we're just talking about, that three languages?
Yeah.
And then maybe for the other things we can, or other topics we may also, if you think on it, can also mention which languages is available. Okay, so that one is in three languages. Okay. Anything more we should mention about the help portal? Maybe search, Google it. I think I'd also do that. But also for code snippets, etc. Google is a good friend. Bing or any other search engine, of course.
So when you go to that help subcom TM, you don't only get the link to the application help documentation itself, but we made it a kind of, the idea is to make it a single point of entry for everyone, and we linked all the different document types there. So the entry page for TM in help subcom gives you quite a good overview over everything we have.
Except for the podcast.
Except for the
unofficial
semi-official documentation.
I see.
But we also plan a link to set a link to the semi-official documents in the future, so it will really be the entry point.
Would I also find the different guides in there linked, which would lead us over to the guides section? Okay.
For legal reasons, we are not allowed to publish them on the help portal. There's separate spaces for the different guides, but you get there. There's a legal disclaimer. You need to agree, and you get to the guides. Yeah, they are filling from the help
portal. The solution manager guides.
For example, yes, and also the administration guides.
Yeah.
So, whatever you need, you at least find it mentioned there, and it's linked.
Okay, should we then go to that guides now, or I think that's it for the portal as such, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's for everybody, it's available in three languages, and it's touching the, it's structured by the different functional areas and try to explain the functionalities available, but nothing technical so much, and in most cases also not very mode specific. Of course, we have some exceptions on that. If they have specific cases for ocean or rail, it's also described, but it's more general process description then. Right? So, good. Okay, then let's go to the guides. Solution manager first? Or
solution manager content.
Yeah, please.
I think that's the official name for it.
Okay.
I think one big problem for understanding in the first place is what exactly do we deliver? How is it delivered? Every customer has a solution manager running in his landscape. That's a central system also used for administration reasons and for creating tickets, I believe, and at the same time also for documentation. And that is two parts, the documentation delivered by SAP, which is the solution manager content, and secondly, documentation that is created by the customer himself and used by him.
Okay.
So that's the two parts. And the documentation delivered by SAP is delivered with so-called solution, so-called support packages as well. And that's what causes irritations or questions, at least.
This on is which side?
Content packages on customer side or whoever, us.
Mm.
These are only content packages. That means it does not really, it's not really depending on the level of the NetWeaver stack underlying the system, but it's a content package which then gives you the updated, that in the end, it's only links to the documents, the PDF documents. That means no matter if you run a NetWeaver, I don't know, 2004S, or if you already have a 730 installation, if you have the current SP support package of, I don't know if the component is interesting now, ST ICO, if you have the current support package, then you also have the current document links to the documentation. For example,
the current support package of that solution manager
content.
Yeah. Content.
Exactly. Yeah.
That has the right links to the documentation for a certain, also TM SP level, right? Is that correct? Fair to say or no?
Yeah, it's we do update if there's really important things in an SP. Most of the time it's corresponding with a certain release. That means for the next release, TM9.1, we'll deliver the first solution manager content with support package 39, I believe it is, which is going to be delivered on December 4th this year. And with that, you'll get links to what we already said in the beginning, documents like the process descriptions, like scenario configuration guides, test cases, and many more. So, but that was the first hurdle you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
You have to install the current support package of Solution Manager content.
Okay. I do that, within the Solution Manager kind of basis activity then,
do
that. Okay.
Exactly.
And then I go into that Solution Manager system?
Yeah.
So that also just high level means it's also only available to customers which bought TM? Or if I, let's say, if
no.
I... So if I have a ERP running and I have a solution manager, I could also access that. But if I have an Oracle running, then I wouldn't have that, obviously. It's not right. In the internet or like unlike the help portal.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Okay. That only if you have, if you have an FS user, then you can access this kind of documentation also via our help pages. That's what we said in the beginning. There's a link to a separate page, which also links to these PDF documents.
Ah, okay.
This is then on the marketplace.
Exactly.
Ah, yes. So okay. So if I have
marketplace/inst guides.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, you have two ways: either via solution manager directly or via service marketplace.
But then I would use that need that S user that I have that access to them.
So in any case, you need to have an S user, means you probably have any kind of SAP installation. And if you have an ERP or whatsoever, what kind of system it may be, you always have to have a solution manager running in your landscape as well.
Okay, but let's say if I wouldn't have a S user for whatever reason, and I'm in a customer project where a solution manager is available, I would also be able to access that, given I have the authorization for that system, of course. Yeah. Okay. And sounds like that the end users are not so really the audience for that kind of guides who, who should read it carefully? Regina.
Yeah. And all the colleagues from consulting.
That's true.
That's the main
I usually provide this kind of documentation to the basis colleagues at customers because not the consultants are setting up the systems. Customers usually have their own basis teams, and they really depend on the especially configuration and integration guides we provide via the solution manager, because there you really have a very detailed description, for example, how to set up the PI for integration between TM and ECC. So
that's more the technical configuration guide.
Correct.
Is that the solution manager content? Okay.
Part of it.
So one part of it is a technical guide, so how to set up
TM.
TM.
In first place, integration with ERP.
Correct.
Yes, but.
Global
Yes, but not from a technical point of view. There's no description what you have to do in order to, for example, install the components, the software components, sub-TM. If you have a NetWeaver running, then you need to take the master guide or the installation note in order to know what you need to or how you need to deploy the software component.
Ah, okay.
The
so I would start
solution
really.
Manager content assumes your system is already up and running. And from at least from a technical point of view, like RFC connections and all that stuff is already established, for example, to your PI. And then you would start with the business configuration.
Basic settings, as we call it.
You set up master data, you set up basic customizing, like, for example, container types or whatsoever.
Okay, that's on the next. That's already the business configuration, also part of it. Okay.
That is what that is delivered with Solution Manager. There's the technical configuration, setting up a system.
Okay, but not technically, but...
That is delivered in the installation note.
Okay.
How you install or deploy the software component, for example.
That's installation note, which is not part of the Solution Manager.
Not part of the Solution Manager.
Okay, that's a separate thing. Okay, installation
note. That's the very technical part. And then you also have to... And that's where it gets a little fuzzy. You always also have to do some more technical steps in order, for example, to connect to an EM or to an ERP system.
Yeah.
But there's, I would say there's a very technical level like RFC connections and users, RFC users, for example. And on top of that, you have to run, if you want to use the PI to connect TM and ERP, then you would have to set up PI accordingly and run through the integration scenario. And that is what I would already would call business configuration, because then you make these two systems talk to each other.
Yeah. That used to be very technical in the past, so this is probably where the confusion comes from, but this is really a business-oriented configuration.
So Solution Manager is business configuration.
To me, it's still very technical. I think it depends on the perspective.
C connections already like end user? No. Okay.
End users are definitely not the target audience. It's business or power users who are dealing with setting up a system or maintaining a system, And it's technical consultants, application consultants. It can also be used for blueprints. The demos that we deliver already describe an end-to-end process or scenario. That means, for example, with TM9O, we delivered the air freight scenario.
As part of the solution manager.
Content.
Exactly. Solution manager content.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this scenario, the config guide and the test case along with that is a complete description of what you need to set up in all connected systems, in all required systems. And the test case then gives you an idea of what you need to do in the system as an end user in order to run through the process to all the steps.
Okay. So it's a really... For consultants that they could teach the end users on what are the setting, maybe also basis for end user documentation.
And in also a project, very helpful when you're really setting up the system from scratch, when you receive a very new system, then you can really take the config guide and run through it such that you can be sure you did not forget any type customizing or whatever.
That's the idea.
Is there also new version, so should I kind of on and off update that content, or is that more with the release?
So most of the time we do of course deliver a new version with every new TM release, but there's also changes from one SP to another sometimes, and then we update the documentation of course as required.
Okay, and then I would go and upgrade the solution manager content
support package.
Oops.
Exactly.
And would have the latest version of it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And there's always some changes, at least in the last few.
Since we are now in an agile development, I hope so, right? Where we develop in support packages.
So it does make sense to install the latest.
To update.
Yeah.
Languages?
This is only available in English.
Okay, like our podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Anything more about for solution manager content everybody should know, or how would I search it? Google? No. In that case, Google wouldn't help.
Oh, that is probably. By the way. Oh,
yeah.
You would find it via Google. Yeah.
Ah.
If you search for a certain scenario name, like domestic outbound transportation, you would find the corresponding configuration guide probably. As it's linked from the service marketplace.
Yes.
But you can access it in only authorized.
Google has an S user.
But technically it's delivered in the dark mode on the help portal, and that's why Google does find
the links.
The links.
Yes. So if you know the scenario names, you can find it.
That's for advanced users only.
So.
Okay, what I mean.
And you can be sure to get the latest, the correct version. Because we've had some issue in the past with that, when someone really Googled for the exact title and got the document, but it was not the latest version.
Anyway.
So, it's better to go the official way.
Always.
That's the difference between accessing via Service Marketplace and the Solution Manager content. If you access via Solution Manager content, then you also always get the information about releases required.
What ERP level,
exactly.
SCM basis,
support package. Okay. There's really huge differences between the different EHPs on ERP side. We started to deliver TM with EHP 4, SP, 9, I believe. But not all the functionality that is now available, for example, with EHP 6 has been downported to EHP 4. And of course, we made use of one or the other functionality in the demo scenarios, and some of this is only available with a certain EHP on ERP side. And of course, on the other side, TM, you need to have a certain release on TM side to make use of, for example, if you want to run through the ocean carrier scenario.
Okay.
So via the solution manager, you'll also get the information about required releases.
Nice. That's enough for that solution manager content, right? I think the other guides we talked about before are more technical, right? That what is, we call it the Tickum guide as a kind of helper name. Should we? I think the solution manager content is setting up the system, but I think for running the system, we have that, or is that wrong? Yeah, just. Yeah, okay, let's go into that other guides. Yeah. Some of
the what administrative else? Guides. Mm. So, yes, there's a master guide, the installation or upgrade guide.
That one is for masters only, right?
First setup.
Yeah. No bachelor's allowed.
Yeah. So it gives you also information about required software components. The master guide, for example, talks about, also gives you an information about the scenarios, gives you information about required software stacks on connected in connected systems. I don't know, much more information.
Important links, for example, to the installation note.
That is a very important
other
one.
Other documentation. Yeah.
So it helps me setting up the system master.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's more so not so it's more technical.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very
absolutely.
Technical.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's not forget the optimizer installation guide. That's always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a separate installation.
Separate installation guide. And now a separate area on the service marketplace under TM, but right under TM we've got the optimizer installation guide as a separate node. Now
okay.
It used to be hidden in the different under the different releases, but now we've got one version that fits all, kind of. So we created a separate space for the optimizer installation guide, and now it's more visible and hopefully more people find it, because that was an issue in the past, as we learned again and again, that people were not aware that such a separate installation guide exists, and they didn't search for it, and you don't find it by accident.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the master guide and the optimizer master guide? No, installation guide.
Optimizer installation guide. Yeah.
Optimizer installation guide.
Yeah.
Okay, then I think the one that I'm always referring to is the application operations guide, where all the reports for housekeeping are mentioned, right?
For example, yes.
What else would I find there?
Also get information about monitoring tools, how to monitor your system. For example, if you run into performance problems, or if you have certain, I don't know, any kind of
system monitoring.
Exactly.
But it's really
you might need.
Operations, okay. That's,
exactly. And it also gives you information about archiving, for example, what you have to do. Very important. Yes, so everything you need to do during the operation of that system.
To keep it technically consistent and up and running.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You already mentioned the security guide before. That's for security.
I believe most of the companies do have security experts now and do have to take care about security. And, of course, we also do. And we describe what exactly the application provides in terms of security, what you have to do in order to make it secure, what you can do in order to, for example, allow certain users only to see certain kind of data.
Mm.
So the user management engine is described and what you need to set up in that context. We also mention the roles, of course, the end user roles. This is a concept for, we kind of modeled or we thought about what is a typical end user we might encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for example, you have a dispatcher or a planner, and we already prepared a menu for them in the NetWeaver business client.
Mm-hmm.
And if you simply copy the standard row we deliver, you also have the corresponding permission objects already in the authorizations tab, and you can simply go through that list and assign required authorizations. You have the ones that are required, only that ones. And then it should work. After.
And all that is described in that guide, right?
Exactly.
To close the brackets.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, maybe that's a separate topic for podcasts as well. Huh?
So security.
Security.
Very good one.
Maybe not for today. Yeah, that's okay, more guides that we...
We forgot the upgrade master guide.
Ah.
So it basically contains the content of the master guide, but in addition, information about... If you want to upgrade from let's say TM80 to TM81.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not from 7.0, right?
Yeah. Nope. There's no upgrade path.
Okay. Yeah. One more question. All only available in English, I assume, all those guides?
Yeah.
And where would I find them? Also in the service marketplace, service central.
And guides.
Yeah. Okay. Or from the TM overview.
Yes. TM. I mean, that's your central point of access, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's a lot of configuration documentation. So for people like Regina, right? So setting up the system. I think sooner or later, our system is not only for consultants, but also for end users, mainly for end users in the end. So where would I find that end user documentation, which leads us to the system documentation, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right where they need it most, I guess. When they are on a certain screen and enter some data and you've got a field, you don't know, okay, what am I supposed to enter here? What kind of information is needed here? What am I allowed to enter here? Any restrictions? If you're lucky enough, you just right-click the field, choose more field help, and we will tell you what to enter there.
Okay, that's a successor of the Arthos formerly known as F1 help, right?
Exactly, yeah. F1 still works, but it takes you to a different place, to the help center. And from the help center, there's a link to application help. But that's something different. So
okay. So if I have a certain field, like my poodle window, mm-hmm. and I want to know what it is, my first try would be to have a right mouse click, more field, and see that. I think, isn't there also something where I get that Kringerchen? No? I thought there, maybe that's already history. I thought that there was also in somewhere a click. I can activate more field help. No,
yeah,
we had that. Okay, that's history. Okay, now it's right mouse click, more field help, and then or maybe mouse. Sometimes it's just a mouse over. Also, right? We sometimes there's also a long text for that field available. I think there are some complications because of accessibility, but generally speaking, I think sometimes you also have a long text.
And you have long text for error messages, of course. So if you do some planning operations in the cockpit and for some reason it doesn't work, you get the short text.
In the message area, right?
In the message area, yeah. And sometimes we have long text if the short message as such is not self-explanatory.
Then you can, I think that's a link then, right? And you click on it and then it opens another one. Maybe talking about it. Message area, I think one more interesting thing is that you can also, I think, switch to a view where you also see the previous messages. So if you kind of saw a message, then click somewhere. By default, it's gone because typically you already reacted to it. But if you want to revisit that, you would go to the
display message log or something.
Yeah, yeah. In the message area. Yeah. Right. Maybe it's also, if you want to see some of our messages. And maybe, okay, talking about messages, if you don't see messages, this may also be because of our famous message filtering.
Exactly.
What is that? So typically, end user, if they see enough messages, they start ignoring it completely. That's why we try to avoid unnecessary messages, things like, yes, the check did work.
Or warnings.
Yeah, or that warnings typically is filtered out. There's in the IMG, in the customizing, you can define for user or role the severity level of message you want to see. So if you expect a message, you don't see it. Maybe for your user, you just set everything to very low that you see all the messages. By default, we really filter like 80%, 82% maybe of the messages. By default, we only show typically errors or very important messages. Okay. So we have that field tab. We have that messages. If I want to get an impression on what is that UI about, is there also something for that? So I think that application, isn't that the application help? No?
Yeah.
Something called WAD. What did it stand for? I forgot. We had...
that was before I joined.
Yes. Specific help for the UIs, but Let's continue. We don't have it anymore.
But you mentioned if I press F1, I'm also ending up somewhere.
Yeah, yes, the help center. Yeah, and there's a link to the help portal. Yeah,
which we just discussed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was before the recording. As we discussed it. I think way we get there. No?
Yeah. Well,
the help portal, of course, we discussed, but
before the recording, there is this help center. And
let's say I'm in a freight order. I press F1. What happens?
Yeah.
What happens? Where do I end up?
So help, no matter on which field you are, on which field you press F1, you always end up on most likely the freight order chapter in application help, or maybe freight order management even.
But
it's only possible.
On a higher level, it's not too specific.
We don't want to annoy you. It's just a thing that it's only possible to maintain one link for the entire screen and not different links for the different fields.
Tabs or, but at least it's a freight order. I'm wound up and up in the charges documentation, but already. And if I'm in charges UI, master data UI at least. But if I'm in the charges tab, still I would end up in that same freight order management because that is my application. Okay. See, maybe one thing I want to mention about the F1 help or field help, that's also technical help, getting better at the moment, a bit overwhelming, but in the higher NetWeaver releases like 7.40, which we use with, we'll use with 9.1, there you can also see things like the field name or also technical names. I think that's getting better. Currently with 9.0, it's a bit overwhelming. You see a lot of information, but not necessarily
doesn't take you anywhere. Yeah.
Most of the time, not.
Doesn't take me anywhere.
Yeah. But it's getting better, so there is hope on that.
And that's especially important for the consultants writing the design documents. Right?
Yeah? Okay. I don't know.
Good,
if you say so.
Yeah, if you don't.
The consultants also have to support the development documents on customer projects. And depending on the customer, we really already have to provide the technical name where we need some enhancements or whatever. So that's.
But that is only the UI names here, so be careful. So it's not a back end name necessarily,
but it
helps a lot, of course, since often it relates. But it shows you. Of course, it points to the UI layer technically, not to the back end layer technically. I think that's maybe.
Sometimes it's quite tedious to identify the exact data element that is behind there.
Yeah.
There's some issues with that too.
Yes, sir. Okay. And that documentation is translated into most common languages, right? So the messages, the field help, the class descriptions. maybe that's something we manage. So also, if you're a bit more technical, so as a consultant, for example, you typically check the classes, also the BO actions, and also that documentation is translated. Translators not always have fun with it, I think, but
not the translators I know.
Yeah. But let's say if you go into like methods or we have a class documentation, of course, method documentation, BO node, descriptions, action description, just to for the sake of completeness. That's also part of the system documentation.
Famous explanation tool.
Yeah. Then you have the comments in the coding, not translated, I think. Sometimes they help as well. Okay, maybe enough for the system documentation, or is anything tips and tricks? IMG, right?
Yeah, we
IMG.
Forgot IMG.
Yeah, I forgot IMG. You did not forget.
I think it's also for the implementation team that customizes the system according to the needs of the customer. And there's, of course, documentation available, found in the little page symbol to the left of the IMG activity.
Sometimes it's only documentation, right? And some activities, there's only documentation, right?
There's a certain type of node that is just a text node. There is no view or view cluster assigned to it. Right.
And this documentation is really, really helpful because most of the time, at least when I'm checking it, most of the time you really find examples on there immediately for when you want to set up a booking order type, what kind of fields are there, and if you then want to make a container freight station or gateway booking order, then it explains a little bit in more detail how you could set it up.
Why did you say that when we talked about commands and coding again? Okay. Good, yeah. So let's
also mention that in the IMG, there you still have the classical F1 help.
Ah.
So F1 help texts for all the fields that are not self-explanatory.
And that IMG doc is also translated in all the languages. Yeah. And obviously it only comes with the IMG, so you need a system for
exactly.
it. For system
and body documentation.
Oh, yes, body.
Ah.
That's
body
also part of the IMG.
Yeah.
Your favorites, right? Good. That's it for the system documentation?
No. Release notes.
Ah, release notes.
They are, I think, very important. They are.
They are technically notes. Really, is it also available as a note in, or just to have it clear? Okay, that's release information.
No.
Okay, it's called release, but it's not in, not available. It's not a consulting note or something.
No.
Good. No.
So it's system documentation. It's written in the system. It's available in the system, and it gives you an overview over all the new functions that are delivered with a release.
Also sometimes about limitations we know, maybe not necessarily all limitations that exist, but the limitations we're aware of, we try to mention there. So those are the words, reading it.
To help you decide if you want to buy a new release, install a new release.
So that means that release notes are part of the or system documentation, but should be available also on a marketplace if it's a help for...
As a PDF, they're also available on the service marketplace, and as we said already, different times, they are also linked from the help portal page.
Okay.
I think they are especially valuable for someone who's already familiar with TM and knows about the different functions in the different areas. You can.
It's more Delta kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
like, so what's new, what changed?
It's a very long version of what you get in the iTunes store updates on your apps, right? Bit of that. Various bug fixes. No, not like. More functional things, right? Not about fixed bugs.
Since we're not developing in SPs, it's only available for new release.
We are not developing in SPs. That's changing nowadays, right? Okay. So, and that release notes available in all languages again, since it's part of system documentation, or is it only...
Yes.
Okay.
But not the PDF.
The PDF,
right.
Not.
Yeah.
It's,
but
just
it's only in English.
In English and German.
And German.
Yeah.
It's
translated.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
But not in Russian.
Also not Japanese? Right.
No.
Okay. So... But that's it now for system documentation. Okay, we can close that part of it. Next thing would be the subterms, maybe just briefly. So that's really about terminology, I think. Sounds like, at least.
Yeah.
SAP
most,
terminology.
Yeah, for most terms, we have very short definitions. But that's really just if you come across a term, and I know there are some terms that are maybe not really self-explanatory. What makes a sailing schedule a sailing schedule?
Carrier schedule, the difference?
Exactly.
It's
is a
sales,
sailing
right?
schedule a carrier schedule, or is it a gateway schedule? And why is it called carrier schedule anyway? So for this kind of information, you might want to check subterm.
Even why is it called good? Didn't know that.
Yeah.
That why chapter.
Sure the why can always be answered. But.
I mean, yeah, maybe subverse on the terminology. I think sometimes you may wonder, okay, I'm installing it in my industry and there's a clear term in my country for that industry. But since TM is used across,
across
I would say
world,
all industries, all across the globe, basically, it starts with things like if you call a rail car or a wagon or something else. I think, we try to have American English, right? Is that
that's the standard? Yeah.
That's our standard, but still you have different terms in different industries, and sometimes we had a discussion for rail freight orders. So what's the name of that first location? We thought, okay, maybe is it a rail station? But then if you think about it, you can come. Okay, sometimes the rail station, sometimes just a rail yard. That same thing on the UI, and since we cannot have one configuration for use case or so, one UI. That's why pretty often we come back with bit generic terms, which are then maybe not
beautiful
or not exact for that one use case, but generically not wrong. So it wouldn't guide you into wrong. You wouldn't think, okay, I only can, if you would call it rail station, you may think, okay, I can only use it for rail stations here, which is not the case. Maybe this does not explain maybe all terms, but yeah, that's something you have to keep in mind. It's for all industries, like if you're a high-tech shipper versus a ocean carrier, and we have all kind of that customers, a bulk, or that's why I think sometimes we end up in a bit generic terms that we still can use them also always and would not invent for every country and industry a different term. So please have mercy. And sorry for some of the terms, you know, it's
maybe the terms are not exactly right, but they are certainly not wrong.
Not exactly wrong.
Not exactly wrong, okay.
Yeah, yeah, right. But we try our best. And sometimes we even rename, like our pieces two, right? Pieces and pieces two are now called quantities
alternative
quantity. Quantities. Yeah, so sometimes.
I believe, at least for some parts, we started already with localization.
Hmm?
I'm aware of at least localization for Brazil, which is ongoing. And you might certainly find then updated terms for that country. At least, and I believe there will be localization services available for Russian as well in the future. I believe, I'm 100% sure. So you might find some more adopted terms in that languages in the future.
Okay, so how would I get that subterm thing? So I want to have it on my laptop. Would I install it or?
As far as I know, you can access it in each system, in the system, by entering subterm.
That's the transaction code.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's delivered with the help portal or with the sublibrary documentation. I think there is a link called Glossary.
Oh, there's a lot of options if you start it. Just see it. Cool. Valid synonyms. Yeah, you can, if you started, define what you want to see, which part of the subterms looks like. Okay. And as mentioned before, at least internally, we also have it included into that Babylon translator thing, which comes on pretty handy sometimes, but I don't know if that is.
Internet.
And that's another PDF, isn't
there? Terminology PDF?
Oh, right, but.
Most important terms, so it's not.
We did that for
TM8.1,
I think.
Isn't there one from
9.0?
No,
no.
I'm quite sure.
Okay. But anyway, if I have that tool in the system.
So the most basic terms are covered. But it's not
very helpful as a handout to the end users. For the first time, so you're talking to them about transportation management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's really important because if you talk to customers, I mean, it really depends on the perspective also. Maybe freight booking, that's maybe a good example for that. If you talk to our shipper customers, for them, the freight booking is the booking to the carriers. But if you talk to a carrier, the booking is actually what we call a forwarding order. So that's why I think at the beginning of the project, it's quite some work to come to common terminology, and maybe that guy can help you. Because, of course, if you talk about the freight booking and one means our booking and the other one means a forwarding order, then you can end up with quite some, in good case, confusion, worst case, you wouldn't find out. And it's then implemented in the wrong business object. So, okay, so that's why I think that subterm thing helps a lot. And maybe if you're new to TM or your users new to TM, have one set of terminology.
This is the place to go.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I think we are more or less through with the kind of normal documentation. I think there's one more thing, RDS documentation that we may touch a bit. I think we didn't talk deeper about that before. What is it? Where is it for? How would I get it?
It's delivered along with the RKT. That means as a customer, if you...
With the RDS.
As a customer, if you order an RDS, that's a package including the software, TM, in most of the cases. including documentation and services. Services means you would also get a certain number of days, for example, consultants who are then to implement the system, use the RDS and implement it on site at the customer. And this documentation would include an overview of the RDS, the process or the scenario description, what you can do from a business perspective. And at the same time, it also provides very detailed information about the settings in the system, customizing, and of course also master data and what you need to set up and what has been set up automatically so that you can follow up afterwards. That means as a customer, you don't only get the complete system in the end, but also the documentation on how to get there.
But that is then focusing on certain processes, right? So
the scope of the RDS, yes. There's an RDS tendering, for example, okay, which only includes the tendering process.
And the documentation for that process.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So it's really a process set up for consultants then, at Config?
Or? Yeah, on the one side, but talking about processes and scenarios is probably confusing. If you take into account the ocean carrier booking scenario, that is also almost a complete end-to-end scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like we a click-through guide or?
Also, yes, yeah. The documentation, how you need to set up the system is kind of click-through, okay, I believe, isn't it? And
more or less.
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. And then you might... That's something I'm not sure of, but you might also find information how to really, from a business perspective, run through the scenario.
Isn't and it? It's also used for doing the trainings to the end users, right?
Might be, yes. Yeah.
And I can get it if, as part of that RDS package, that is something I have to install, download.
First, you have to buy it.
Buy it.
But yeah. The documents are available for free. Well, not for free if you've got a TM license. You've got access to the service marketplace. You should be able to get to the top. It's not in the TM section because that's, well, for internal reasons.
Yeah.
From an organizational perspective, the RDS documents are not written by our TM office. But there's a separate section on the service marketplace. So you should get the documents for free if you have as user.
Okay.
You would get it along with the package. A customer would contact his AE and then would buy the package. And with that package, you'll also get the documentation, the software, the documentation, and the service for the installation.
And if I don't go that way, because, for example, I'm a consulting company and want to learn about TM, then maybe that RDS, I wouldn't buy it, then still I can go to the service marketplace and find the documentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is it linked in our central and as everything?
Yes, as everything.
Easy. Okay.
There's one more kind of documentation that we didn't touch so far, which corresponds with the release notes. And it's not available for everybody. It's mostly targeting consultants. It's the RKT, the ramp up knowledge transfer material. We are going to provide this, or we did provide this material, this kind of material for every release at RTC, release to customer. It's a collection of documents describing the delta to the former release. That means for 9.1, it's going to be several presentations, several assets, a lot of assets, describing how to set up new functionality in the system, what you need to do in terms of customizing or master data, and then gives you an idea of the business objective behind. And when you talk about business, what you need to do in the system as an end user to use that kind of functionality. And the target audience, like I said, is technical or application consultants and maybe power users. For a lot of implementation projects, also administrators or power users from customers are involved. And they would also be in the target audience.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the official part of documentation that we deliver, right? Maybe one more thing, potentially interesting still in the official section is the consulting notes, I think. So sometimes developers would provide a consulting note typically to explain certain things on a more technical level. So to distinguish that from all the guides, it's more some do's and don'ts. Sometimes have a consult if you have frequent questions, but more technically. And also one thing is, as part of the documentation cannot be updated after it has been delivered, maybe as a kind of a workaround, we sometimes create a consulting note and I include that same description then sometimes in the official documentation of the next release. Then if we have, I don't know, we find out in SP3 that there's the same question over and about pickup delivery time windows over and over again, for example, and we don't have that described enough in the docu, but there's no new functionalities or so. That's why we have no new version of the docu. Then we would go and write a consulting note and incorporate that coding or that coding writing text into the normal documentation then later. So typically, yeah, you can just find it by the TM component and then consulting note as a.
There's the famous tendering note, for example.
The famous tendering note, yeah.
That's describing in detail what you need to set up in order to make tendering work.
Exactly. So, yeah. But I think, meanwhile, it would also be maybe, for example, incorporated in the tendering RDS.
Of course, it's also described in the normal help. Mm. But it gives examples and probably provides more details.
Yeah, that's a famous one, right? Yeah.
We also provide a note, for example, for functionality which is only working in different and certain release combinations. Like, for example, we deliver the cost distribution only with TM9.0 and in combination with ERP
ECC 606.
Exactly. Enhancement Package 6, Service Package 4.
Yeah. With the following notes? No.
That's very important. If you want to use it, you have to, for example, activate certain business functions which are not available in support packages before that or whatsoever. And for really big parts like agency or note, like cost distribution, or there's some more topics. There's a note describing which releases and service packages you need to have in your landscape in order to make it run.
Okay. I think that's enough for consulting notes, right? Okay, and then there are, I think, some more informal things. Maybe we should just mention it. One is supply chain execution community, which is a space within the SCN, SAP... Community network, but it's not only us, right? It's TM, EWM, and EM together in one place. And what we typically post there, I mean, one thing is you guys can post questions there and people can answer the questions. And what some of us also do is write little how-tos. So Marcus has his Monday knowledge snippet series. I have a Wednesday knowledge snippet, and there are series where you can kind of focus on certain topics like condition, what is the condition type all about in all epic lengths and or location types and all kind of topics. So it's kind of non-structured, focusing on certain topics, yeah, but it's still helpful in most cases, I think. So that's another supply chain execution community. Again, search by Google maybe can be one source of information as well. And typically what we do is then if we post something there, we also provide a link to that in the LinkedIn community. There are several TM communities on LinkedIn. And one is, I think, the one that we use most is Sub-Transportation Management, right? The one with over 2,000 users. There's only one with more than 2,000 users in it, so it's worth checking there as well, because there's also question answers from other consultants, and you may find something in there as well. And that's LinkedIn, the SDN community. Yeah, books. There's one book coming. There's an old TM book that's about TM 6.0. I mean, the business processes are still the same, but everything else has changed. So I think it's no recommendation on that one. But the new one, I think it's written by Bernd Lauterbach, Jens Gottlieb, I think.
Lots of consultants.
And lots of consultants involved. I think that at least sounds very promising. So I think that one will also be good starting point. And, of course, a podcast here, but you already know that, so otherwise you wouldn't hear it, so don't need to mention that. There's one special thing that we forgot. I think you can also provide some feedback to some of the documentation, right? Maybe we should add some words on that as well.
That's true, yeah. There are rating buttons for each chapter in the application help.
But don't forget, you rate the documentation, not the functionality, right?
Exactly, yes, please. and you can also leave comments there. So you can say, okay, that one is maybe 4 out of 5. And to make it 5 out of 5, I would have wanted that piece of information I didn't get. An example, exactly, because sounds about right, but I don't really know how to do it or something.
And that would show up then? So where would that button be? So I'm...
It's on the page itself.
So in
you just scroll down to the end.
Yeah, at the very bottom. And there's a workflow behind it, so the author...
So now we're talking... That button is available in the help portal, right?
Exactly.
So not within only the field help or something? Okay. Hmm?
That's only for chapters in the application help.
At the moment, at least. Yeah.
And there's a workflow behind it, so the author who wrote that particular topic, or at least who's responsible for it now, he gets the text comments and... He can see the details, and then he can take action or not.
Okay.
Is it working only for the internal help subcom page or always?
No, it should be publicly available.
Is there an internal help? Yeah.
No, well, if I'm accessing the help subcom via my SAP notebook, I think I received this comment area where I can then also enter my comments and suggestions. If I go via, for example, my customer laptop, and I'm not in the SAP network, then I think I don't see it.
Shouldn't be the case.
It shouldn't be the case because it's exactly for that.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah.
Maybe that was the rollout phase that they tested this when you check. Maybe it can check.
And I have to
please do so. Yeah, and let us know. Yeah.
If it's not working, then just press that button and give feedback. No,
so it doesn't work.
Okay. Good. Anything else? One hour of documentation. Oh, 1 hour, 12 minutes. So you can't say there's not enough TM documentation, I would say, right? At least there's enough to read different places. I hope that we kind of, at least I know, have a better understanding of what should be where. And thanks for listening.
You can say you don't find it.
Yes.
At least now we've got that.
Yeah.
Starting page on the help portals and everything's really mentioned in there.
Yeah, I think it's also possible to give positive feedback on the documentation with that feedback button, right? So
you can rate 5 of 5 stars.
Yeah. Say that's the most brilliant piece I've ever award the author of the Nobel Prize.
For TM documentation.
Pulitzer Prize. Yeah. Wow. I would take the Nobel Prize too.
Good. So. Thanks to everybody.
And from tomorrow onwards, I would like to see a link to this podcast to whoever posts a question in LinkedIn saying, please send me all available TM documentation.
Yeah, it's help.dat.com transportation management.
Yes.
There's
great final word.